This is lesson number 6 on the covenant, and I'm going to show you some things about God and his covenant with his people. The grace of God, you know, it's not for behavior modification, it's for life transformation. Did you hear me? The grace of God is not for behavior modification, it's for life transformation. It's not just to modify your behavior, it's to change your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. As we look at the covenant, we see the grace of God. We see the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Regardless of what you heard about grace, grace is a person. His name is Jesus, and the law was given by Moses, but the grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He came personally. Glory to God. You know what? He didn't send somebody else. He didn't send an angel. You understand? Hallelujah. He didn't send somebody else. He came himself. Hallelujah. He came himself. Glory to God. Jesus came and fulfilled that old covenant and instituted the new. And people, we've been living way beyond and below what God created us to live by. I'm going to tell you something. God intended us to live free of condemnation and sin. Hallelujah. And we've been living under the burden of all that junk. Hallelujah. Whoa, it's about time we came out from under that. Come on. Glory to God. The new covenant is a covenant of grace. I told you it's a lopsided agreement. I told you that God did all the giving and we do all the taking. Hallelujah. You say, well, that's not fair. A whole lot of things are not fair, but glory to God, that's the way he set it up. See, we have not exalted and esteemed the blood the way we should. We have not realized what the blood did. Come on, hallelujah, to know how powerful that blood was and just exactly what the blood did. See, we've not realized the power that was in that precious blood of Jesus. We thought it just took care of our past sins, but we couldn't believe that it had taken care of our future sins. People, it said it took away care of my sin. I mean, all my sin. You ain't ever going to go to hell for smoking. You ain't ever going to go to hell for lying and drinking and carousing and committing adultery. You're not. Just don't get all upset. Come on, stick with me. You are going to go to hell because you rejected Jesus Christ, and that's the only reason you'll go to hell. Now, we ought not smoke and drink. I'm going to tell you something. I smoke and drink all I ever want to. I carouse around all I want to. I just don't want to. When I got saved, God fixed my want to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He fixed my want to. Hallelujah. We always believed that we had our part, you know, that we had to keep in the agreement, and that part was to keep ourselves saved. Our part is just to stay on the vine. Come on, people. Hallelujah. Just stay on the vine. Glory to God. I don't have to keep myself saved because the Bible says I'm kept by the... Oh, glory. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Come on, you're going to have to holler a little louder. There's not that many of us. We got to praise the Lord. If you don't, I'll throw my Bible at you. So wake up. Come on. Hallelujah. Our part is just to stay on the vine. He'll keep us. Hallelujah. He knew how bad you was going to blow it. He saved you anyway. So now he's stuck with you. Hallelujah. And he wants to be stuck. All this was his idea. Glory to God. John 15:1 says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I'll remain in you. He has promised, man, he's not going to leave you. Hallelujah. Just because you messed up, you know what? I had one little boy that, I'm telling you, when he's little, when he'd feed himself, he'd put his whole hand in his mouth. Stick his hand in his mouth. Didn't know how to eat, but I didn't throw him away. He learned how to eat. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The first time my kids got up and fell down, I didn't throw them away because they couldn't walk. Oh, glory to God. Come on. Come on. God's not going to throw you away. He loves you, and he's fixing you. Hallelujah. Stay on the vine. Stay on the vine. He said, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot fulfill unless you remain in me. You cannot be fruitful, unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Come on. Hallelujah. Say, I produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words, come on, listen. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And that brings great glory to God. Where did we ever get the idea that God didn't want us to get our prayers answered? Come on, hallelujah. He wants you to get your prayers answered. Because when you get your prayers answered, says right here, it brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father's loved me. Now, come on, people. I couldn't believe that if it wasn't in the Bible. He said He's loved me just like the Father loves him. That's a whole lot of love. Hallelujah. Come on. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things that you will be filled with my joy. Glory to God. I'm telling you, people thought you ought to prune up when you go to church. Look like you swallowed a sour pickle. Look around sometimes, you know, in church, I used to look around. I'd see people, they look like they half dead. Glory to God, we're not dead. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. We ought to be the most fulfilled people in the world. We ought to be the most productive people in the world. Hallelujah. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you're my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. Where did we get the idea that God don't want us to know anything? You know, well, someday in the great sweet by and by, we'll know. Well, bless God, there's some things I need to know now. Hallelujah. Now look at this. You didn't choose me. Glory to God. You didn't choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Whatever you ask for using my name, this is my command. Love each other. You know what? That's where we miss it. We're not walking in love. You understand? That's all. That's his commandment. You understand that? He didn't command you to do a whole bunch of things. He commanded you to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, and we don't walk in love. We need to walk in love. Do you see how close this relationship is? We're no longer under the law. I want to show you that you are under grace through the covenant that was cut by God with Abraham. Now let's bring this down to today. In Luke 22:8 is in the King James, it says, and he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. See, I need to see the basis for my faith. I have a covenant with God, and for him to go against that covenant, he'd have to destroy himself. In Luke 22:20, it says, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This is the New Testament. This is the new covenant in my blood. Hallelujah. We have a new covenant in his blood. Hallelujah. It's a contract between God and man. It is a covenant. Hallelujah. Not one you made, but one that Abraham made. I know which tribe I'm from. How about you? Hallelujah. Jesus came as God, as the God-man. You understand? He was not nailed in his hands. He was nailed in his wrist. Hallelujah. The blood had to flow. His side was open. The same way they cut his wrist, he offered himself. When you drink the blood, you're signing a friendship covenant with God. Jesus sealed the covenant with his blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He represented man and he represented God. When they drank it, they cut a covenant with God, and God was bound with an oath to that person that God would have to destroy himself if he ever broke the covenant. You understand that? Hallelujah. Man breaks it. We've been breaking it for 2,000 years. So what is a covenant? It's a promise, an oath, a vow, a seal, a contract. A covenant also means to cut. Now, people, this is the last one I'm doing on this covenant, but if you'll understand that, You know, get those CDs and listen to them and listen to them until you get that down in you. I know I have a covenant with God, and it's one that God said he wouldn't break, and I'm going to stay on the vine. See, God comes into covenant relationship with us because of his love. The reason for the covenant is really love. That's the foundation. You could even call this thing a love covenant because that's what it was. In 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love." See, you're really a love child. Have you ever heard anybody say, "I was an accident"? You know, I was just an accident in God's plan. No, you're a love child. You're born out of love into a family that was expecting you. They were prepared for you. Well, come on. Glory to God. You may feel like an orphan, but you're not an orphan. God planned for you. Hallelujah. He expected you. I am not an accident. Hallelujah. People say, "Well, I was an accident. My parents really didn't want me. I wasn't born out of love." Well, you're not an accident in God's plan. You're a love child. You were born out of his love into a family that was expecting and prepared for you. The first thing you need to see, and you begin to see as a result of this new birth, is the things that you once hated, you now love. Did you ever notice that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, the things you once loved, now you hate. Hallelujah. I can remember the people who used to come and witness to me. I couldn't stand them. You know, I want them to get away from me because I just couldn't stand it. After I got saved, those were the most precious people. You know? Hallelujah. God changes you want to. You see why I drink all I want to and smoke all I want to and cuss all I want to? I don't want to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So love is the basis that we have for this covenant. And there are 9 points to the covenant, and I'll give you references where I get all 9 points and all, you know, and what they have to do with you. I'm going to bring this down to what it has to do with you. You need to understand what's involved in the covenant and see how much God loves you. In 1 Samuel 18:1, it said, "After David had finished talking with Saul, he met Jonathan, the king's son. There was an immediate bond between them, for Jonathan loved David. From that day on, Saul kept David with him and wouldn't let him return home. And Jonathan made a solemn pact with David because he loved him as he loved himself. And Jonathan sealed the pact by taking off his robe and giving it to David, together with his tunic, his sword, his bow, and his belt." The first thing I want you to see was the giving of garments. They took off their coat and gave it to, they exchanged coats. And times when I've taught this, I've had someone come up and we've exchanged coats. See, if we enter into a covenant with each other, I give you my coat and you give me mine. I was going to do it with Bev, but I was afraid her vest wouldn't fit me. I'm bigger than she is. Hallelujah. I hate to look bad up here. I'm playing. So why do we exchange coats? We're saying, I give myself to you. I give you myself. I give you my covering. This is me and I give it to you. And I read about the covenant meal and when we do communion, we are saying, listen, people, when we do communion in here together, we're entering into a covenant with each other. It's a covenant of love and we're saying, I'll love you and I'll help you and I won't talk about you. I won't talk bad about you. And if you get in trouble, I'm going to help you. Hallelujah. Because I'm going to love you. So we're saying, I'll cover you. We're exchanging ourselves. We're giving each other, we're giving ourselves to each other. You know? Hallelujah. Now look at this. See, Jonathan was next in line to be king. So when he gave David his coat, he was saying, I'm going to give you all I got. He was saying, you know, and then David gave him his coat. Can you imagine? He was a shepherd boy and he had nothing but a shepherd's coat. But the son of a king had everything. And he gave David his royal robe, and he took David's shepherd's coat. You know what he was saying? I'm entering into a covenant with you. Everything I have is yours. If you ever need anything, I'll be right there. And I give you myself, and I'll love you as myself. I'll love you as myself. See, we don't know what that is in the church now. We need to love each other as we love ourselves. We need to take care of each other. You think... Well, that one don't matter. You know, they're not, Hey, listen, if the end of my big toe hurts, my whole body hurts. Come on. Hallelujah. You know what? You can just have a little place, and every time you touch it, makes your whole body hurt, right? You know what? And if someone in the body hurts, we're all going to hurt. And you may not know it's hurting right then, but you just wait. We need to take care of each other. We're the only people in the world that bear their wounded. You know, we just bear the wounded. I mean, we don't try to heal them. We do. Now, we do in this church. This is a great church. But I'm going to tell you something. Most churches just keep hitting them until they're down. He said, I'll cover you and you cover me. And number two is they exchanged belts. They took their belt off. Well, their belt just like this. This is not holding up my pants, okay? That's not why I'm wearing this belt. I don't have any weapons on that belt, but that's what their belts. They wore those belts because the belt had the sword, the dagger, and it had, you know, all their protection on it. Their weapons were on it. That belt held their protection. So when they exchanged belts, they were saying, I'm going to protect you with my life. You know, my weapons are your weapons. If anybody fights you, they're going to have to fight me too. Come on, people. We got to stand up and begin to do that. If somebody fights one, you know, instead of joining in, say, you're right. You know what? They're not very nice. No, we need to stand up and say, no, that's a child of God. And see, we're all guilty. Now, you all look so righteous, you know. Everybody just sits real still. Nobody ever know you ever done this. But every single one of us has been guilty of this. I know we have. The devil uses the same old bag of tricks on all of us. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying we shouldn't do it. So they exchange belts. So we see the two things here. No matter what trouble you get into, I'll protect you. That's what they were saying. I'll protect you and you protect me. Now they do something else because covenant means cutting, and there had to be a cutting, so they'd cut an animal. They'd take an animal and split it in half. Now in Genesis 15, God enters into a covenant with Abraham, and he was Abram at the time. Genesis 15:9, it said, and the Lord told him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Now, when they split that animal, they were saying it was one, now it's two. That animal represents my relationship to you. I'm splitting myself to become one with you. Now, I'm going to bring this down to what Jesus did for you. But when they split the animal, they were saying this thing is split in half now. Hallelujah. So Abraham presented all these things to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. See, the devil hates a covenant relationship. And in the New Testament, it talks about the devil coming like a fowl to snatch the seed away. Remember that in Mark 4? Hallelujah. The enemy will come to snatch the seeds of God's love out of your heart. He'll come to snatch the seeds of the covenant relationship. And he will if he can, if you allow him to. If you don't drive him off, you'll never realize how much God loves you and how much he has in this covenant relationship with you. And listen to me, people. There are things that happen to us, yes. And in the area you're going to be used in, that's where you'll be tried in. It's not God trying you, but the enemy will try you in that very area. So you just know, bless God, if he's hit you in finances, you're probably going to be a millionaire. If he's hit you in your body, you're probably going to be involved in getting other people healed. I tell you what, I had the neatest experience this week. They let me come and teach Awanas. And those little kids, they're little. You know, some of them maybe 3-4 years old up to about 9. And I talked to them about Jesus and his healing. They didn't sit back and question. They didn't say, well, our pastor didn't tell us that. You know, I don't know if I believe that. No, they lined up. I'm telling you, these little kids lined up. And when I laid hands on them, they fell out. Just fell out. And I felt the power of God go out of me. Just one little girl, she came up and she said, do I have to lay on the floor? I said, no. Well, do I get to lay on the floor? I said, I'll tell you what, honey. If Jesus lays you on the floor, you lay down. Otherwise, don't lay down. Is that okay? Hallelujah. One little girl came and she's finding something wrong with her because she wanted to get slain again. She loved that. Hallelujah. It was so neat. I got to lead 3 of them to Jesus. One little boy brought this little teeny boy, could barely speak. I mean, he could hardly talk. I said, what do you need? Well, my brother needs Jesus in his heart. So I got down there, and the little boy, I mean, he could barely talk. He's repeating after me, getting Jesus. So I asked the little boy, I said, now what do you need? Well, I need Jesus in my heart too. I thought, hallelujah, glory to God. Can you imagine getting to lay your hands on these kids and calling destiny in and sealing them and marking them with the covenant? Hallelujah. One little girl came when I put my hands on her head just began to move all around. So then I put my hands on her hips. Her hips began to move all around. I set her in a chair. Her little legs didn't come out past the chair, hardly. Her legs went doop, 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 doop. And pretty soon her legs just grew out. I mean, it was just the neatest thing. Hallelujah. And you know what? They just act like that was just a normal thing. She just got out and run off. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love what God does. So if you're being tried in an area, just know God don't want a bunch of babies. He wants us to grow up. Hallelujah. He wants us to know who we are and what belongs to us and fight for what's ours. Hallelujah. And begin to be so contagiously healthy. I've had that on my mind all week. Hallelujah. You know what? If you came in here with a fever and you were coughing all over and just running a fever and you said you had the flu, you know, nobody want to be around you. Why? Because you're contagious. Now, honey, let's be contagiously healthy. Come on. Let's be contagiously joyful. Let's be so contagious that everybody gets around us, just get some of it. Hallelujah. Bless God. Hallelujah. Get so contagiously healthy, you just spread around. Hallelujah. But if you don't drive the devil off, you'll never realize how much God loves you and how much he has for you in this covenant relationship. So Abraham drives off the vultures because he knows this relationship, this is a relationship that the Father's making with him. Verse 12 says, as the sun was going down, Abram fell in a deep sleep and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Now, here they come. He's going to cut a covenant with Abraham. He has Abraham bring some animals, and they split them down the middle, and they call this a walk of blood. What they did was they back up to each other's back. I read this in several different books. And they would make a figure eight, and they would go around like this, and then they would go back and pass each other. They're walking through these bloody pieces and they're saying the terms of the covenant. If you break this, we'll cut you in half, just like this enemy or just like this animal. Hallelujah. You better not break this covenant, because this is a forever covenant. It's one that's going to last forever and you can't break it. Hallelujah. So then God begins to speak out of this relationship. Not only did they cut the animal, but they cut their wrist. And they put their wrist together and begin to bleed together. Hallelujah. They bled together. They're saying, we're one blood. Do you see how close this is? You better be loving the person you're doing this with. Hallelujah. Because you're bleeding together. You're becoming one blood. And then they would put like dirt or something in there to make a scar. Hallelujah. Now they were saying there that they're exchanging natures. They've exchanged natures. They've exchanged weapons. They've cut the animal. They've become one blood. Then they took something and rubbed in the cut. It could be dirt or ashes, something that would leave a scar. So when they see each other, there's a scar reminding them that they have a covenant. We belong to one another. We're one in nature. Remember I told you about David and Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son. And after Jonathan was dead, I can just imagine old David looking and seeing this scar and remembering he had a covenant. And he said, has Jonathan got any seed? And he sent for Mephibosheth, who was living out in a dry place when he could have been sitting at the king's table all that time. Man, some of you have been living in the dry places when you could be sitting at the table of a king. Hallelujah. So when we see each other, there's a scar reminding us that we've cut covenant. We belong to one another. We're one in nature. Hallelujah. We protect each other and we have a scar to prove it. Glory to God. So number one, They gave the covering. Number two, they exchanged belts. Number three, they split an animal and made the figure eight. Number four, they cut the wrist. Number five, they make a scar. Hallelujah. Now, you know what? I told you that when they, here's Abraham over there asleep. So God's going to cut covenant with Abraham. How come Abraham is not up walking in the bloody pieces with him? Because God knew Abraham couldn't keep it. So he just brought Jesus down. And Jesus and God walked that covenant. Hallelujah. They walked that walk of God. They walked that walk of blood. And they said, hallelujah, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. Somebody try to tell you God say no to a promise. You just tell them that's a lie. Because God will never say no to a promise. All the promises of God or yes, hallelujah, and so be it. Whoa, I love that. Come on, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I love that. Glory to God. Each representative would pass twice through that blood-soaked path between the halves of the slain animal. And on each pass, they stopped. And standing in the middle of the blood, they made promises to each other that could never be broken. God walked up. Whoa, glory. Come on, come on, come on. I tell you, somebody ought to get up and run around. Do you understand? God walked that. He walked that covenant. And right in the middle of that covenant, he made you promises. Hallelujah. He said, glory to God, all my promises are yes. I'll never tell you no to a promise. He promised I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, bless God, I'm going to send my son. And he's going to pay the price. And it'll be a price that's completely paid. Hallelujah. You don't have to help. You don't have to do anything but stay on the vine. Accept Jesus as your Savior and stay on the vine. Abide. Hallelujah. Well, come on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is not some dead, dry gospel. Whoa, hallelujah. Glory to God. People say, I make them nervous. Honey, I'm going to just tear you up when we get to heaven. Hallelujah, because I'm going to be able to do more. Hallelujah. Somebody said, God's not deaf. Well, honey, you ain't nervous either. Okay? Hallelujah. And don't bother him when I yell. In fact, he kind of likes it. Hallelujah. Might help some of you give out a good yell every now and then. Hallelujah. There you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see people claim to be saved. They look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I love Jesus. I'm saying in this covenant, if I break the covenant, cut me in half like these animals. Hallelujah. This has to do with life and death. This is my covenant forever with God. Now, any seed that are in me, even people that are not born yet, hallelujah, they have the same covenant if they so desire. But they have to make a choice. Are you seeing the spiritual sign here? Next thing they do is exchange names. We take each other's name. Hallelujah. Now, notice this is becoming a close relationship. There has to be love behind this. You wouldn't want somebody having your name unless you loved them. When Roy and I got married, oh, glory to God, you know what? Sunday, for the first time in 45 years, we've been married 45 years Sunday. The first time it's going to be on Easter. Hallelujah. I feel like God's resurrecting our marriage. Hallelujah. And it's been good up to now, but whoa, hallelujah. Going to get better now. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. But isn't that funny? In 45 years, it's never been on Easter. And this year, it's on Easter. But we exchanged names. You know, I took his name. Some people don't want to take their husband's name. You know, well, I wanted his name. I like being Mrs. Roy Gibson. Hallelujah. I still get excited about that. After 45 years, I like it. And I still like him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, I don't know how I ever got that man, but I'm sure thankful I did. But you know what? You don't want somebody carrying around your name if you think they're awful. Hallelujah. So they exchange names, and then they read the covenant terms. We read the covenant terms off to each other. You know, when they did that, they read the covenant terms. And in Genesis 31, it talks about Jacob and Laban, and they had a covenant. And you say, well, I didn't think Laban was very nice. Well, he wasn't. They didn't really like each other very much, but they entered into this thing by faith. with a man like Laban, it's better to have him on your side. Hallelujah. See, love isn't all ugly. You know, do you see that? Do you always love your partner by faith or by feeling? Or do sometimes you just take it by faith? How about Jesus? You know, there's sometimes you get up, you may not feel like a Christian, but glory to God, I am. Hallelujah. When I start stirring that, then I'll feel it. Hallelujah. When you enter into a covenant, you enter into agreement that says, no matter how I feel, I'm going to love you. Hallelujah. The word says, husband, love your wives. It didn't say love them because they're sweet and beautiful and good cooks. I'm sure glad it didn't say that. Lord left me years ago. Hallelujah. But they made a decision to love. Otherwise, there could have been terrible destruction. But they made a covenant and read the terms. And in Genesis 31:47, it says, to commemorate the event, Laban called the place, and I'm not even going to say what it is, which means witness pile. And Jacob called it Galeed, which means witness pile in Hebrew. And then Laban declared, this pile of stones will stand as a witness to remind us of the covenant we made today. This explains why it's called Galeed, or witness pile. But it was also called Mizpah, which means watchtower. For Laban said, may the Lord keep watch between us to make sure that we keep this covenant when we are out of each other's sight. If you mistreat my daughters, or if you marry other wives, God will see it, even if no one else does. He is a witness to this covenant between us. You see how, they're reading the terms. He said, see this pile of stones, Laban continued, and see this monument I've set between us. They stand between us as a witness of our vows. I'll never pass the pile of stones to harm you, and you must never pass this pile of stones or this monument to harm me. I call on God of our ancestors, the God of your grandfather, Abraham, and the God of my grandfather, Nahor, to serve as judge between us. So Jacob took an oath before a fearsome God of his father to respect the boundary lines. They read the covenant terms. See, they wear this Mizpah thing. You don't think that's really a close thing, but they really were enemies. This was a covenant so they wouldn't kill each other, if you look it up. Number 7, they read the covenant terms. And in Genesis 31:54, then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mountain, called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. So they ate a meal. Normally, you eat two things in the covenant meal, bread. You're saying you're one flesh, one body, one bread, and wine. That's saying you're one blood. So number 8, they eat the covenant meal. And number 9, they planted a tree. And the reason I'm reading these is so you can see where I got these points. In Genesis 21:27, and Abram took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. This is a friendship covenant. The word friend, I told you, means beloved. That makes them more than just neighbors. This is a close relationship. They made a covenant. Why? Because they're friends. Thus, they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. And Abram planted a grove in Beersheba and called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. So they plant a tree that says, I have a covenant. We have a covenant. They turn to all the witnesses and say, we're friends, more than a casual relationship. We belong to each other. Now, if you look back at Jonathan and David, their relationship come out of a love relationship. Would you say they were good friends? Yes, they were. Jonathan was a prince, next in line to be king. David was a smelly shepherd boy. He had nothing to offer but himself. Yet they made a covenant. Oh, come on, see that? Nothing to offer but himself. You have nothing to offer but yourself. I mean, you can do. What can you do for God? Come on, tell me. Hallelujah. There's nothing you can do but give him yourself. And that's all he wants. They became beloved to each other. Laban and Jacob became friends. Hallelujah. Abimelech and Abraham became friends. So I want to go over these 9 points again because I'm going to bring it down to what it means to you. Number 1, they exchanged robes. Number 2, they exchanged belts or weapons. Number 3, they split the animal. They became one in spirit. Number 4, they cut their wrists. They become one blood. Number 5, they made a scar. That's remembrance. God said, put me in remembrance. Number 6, they exchanged names. Number seven, they read the covenant terms. Number eight, they ate the covenant meal because they become one body and one blood. Number nine, they planted a tree. What does friend mean? Does anybody remember? It means beloved. Does this affect my children? Can my children get in on this? Yes. Hallelujah. And remember about Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel 4:4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and the nurse took him up and fled. It came to pass as she made haste that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, if you look it up, it means a shameful thing. Here he thought he was a dead dog, a shameful thing. You thought you was an old rotten sinner. I heard somebody just say that this week. Well, you know, we're all just sinners saved by grace. I thought, not me. I was a sinner. I got saved by grace, but bless God, now I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jonathan had a son born after the covenant relationship was made, and there was war between the household of David and the household of Saul. Saul hated David. He didn't have a covenant relationship with him. His son did. One night, the armies of Saul and his people hear that David is coming, and Saul and Jonathan had been killed, so they run. The nurse picks up the boy and flees with him, but they fall, and he becomes crippled. He had crippled feet. Remember when Jonathan and David exchanged robes, they exchanged belts or weapons? Would David ever have harmed Mephibosheth? No. Why not? Because he had a covenant relationship. You say, but the nurse didn't know. Sad, isn't it? She didn't know. That's why some of you are living in Lodabar, because you don't know you got a right to come up out of Lodabar. That's why some of you think you're just a shameful thing, because you don't know you're no longer an old sinner. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many Christians are lame because they don't understand the covenant relationship they have with God and how much He loves them? You know, we hear that so much, oh, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And people just think that's just a flippant thing. That is not a flippant thing. God loves me. He loves me. He treasures me. Hallelujah. If I'd have been the only one, He'd have come and died for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember years ago when pastors used to say that, and I'd think, well, He wouldn't have come for me. He might have come for everybody else, but He wouldn't have come for me. I didn't understand my covenant relationship. I didn't understand that God loved me. Hallelujah. Not because of who I was, but because who Jesus made me. You understand? Hallelujah. God doesn't look at you and see you. He looks at you through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He sees the virtue of Jesus in me. Hallelujah. He sees what I'm capable of as long as I walk in Jesus, and that's what He sees. Hallelujah. Come on, people. Glory to God. Come on. Hallelujah. Say glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Mephibosheth grows up and he thinks David is his enemy. And he goes and lives in that place called Lodabar, that dry place, a place of no pasture. He grew up and I'm sure he hated David. He probably looked at his lame feet and thought, I wouldn't be lame if it were not for David. He's my enemy. My grandfather hated him. I should be king. But instead, I'm living out here. See, he had wrong information. He was believing a lie. Hallelujah. Do you remember that all Jonathan had belonged to David? So if Mephibosheth, had he known, he could have run to David as soon as his dad was killed and said, David, I'm a son of Jonathan. We have a covenant. All you have is mine. Now you got to take care of me. Hallelujah. See, it's okay to run to God and say, you got to take care of me. I can't fix myself. I've been trying for years. I just make a mess of it, but you got to fix me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But Mephibosheth doesn't know. Why don't Christians run to God? Because they don't know. Hallelujah. Why didn't Mephibosheth go to David? Because he didn't know. They don't know that all he had, all God has, belongs to me. Hallelujah. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of this earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Set your affections on things above. Oh, glory. God's not mad at you. He has good things for you. Hallelujah. You remember when you run from God because you thought He hated you? Maybe none of you did. You probably born thought you just the greatest thing ever was. God just get a good treasure when He got you. It wasn't that way with me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I didn't know he had only good things for me. So I run away from him when I needed him most. Even after I was saved, I run away from him because I didn't understand how much he loved me. You know, I would do something wrong. Instead of running to him, I'd wait about 5 or 6 days till I felt better about it. And then I felt like I could go back to him. You know, hallelujah. But I could have gone to him all the time because he wants to fix me. He's not against me. He's for me. I have a covenant with him. We're in close relationship. Hallelujah. Glory. See, the devil don't want you to know about this covenant relationship. He doesn't want you to know about the fullness of it after you're a Christian. Hallelujah. See, do you see that the faith teaching begins to show you the good things God has for you? But you're going to have to receive it by faith. Hallelujah. So here's Mephibosheth living in a dry place. He's lame and a shameful thing. And David says, does Jonathan have any seed left? And then he sends for him. Do you see that God can't forget about you? Oh, I love this. Come on, I love this. God can't forget about you. Every time Jesus puts his hands up, he sees the scar. Hallelujah. He sees the scars. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He can't forget about you. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory. Whoa, I love this. Hallelujah. Do you see? Glory to God. He has a scar to prove he had covenant with you. Hallelujah. They said he has a son. He's lame in his feet, so he sends after him. Glory to God. You know, can you imagine when Mephibosheth come up into the king's, he sent for him, and he figures he's going to kill him. You know, he figures he's in for it. Mephibosheth, he falls to the floor, and he cries out, I'm a dead dog. And David said, I'm not going to kill you. I have a covenant with your father. You're not a shameful thing. You're not a dead dog. Hallelujah. When we come, he says to you, hey, I'm in covenant. I was in covenant with your mama. Hallelujah. And she, bless God, she called your name out and marked you for the kingdom of God. So come on in here, honey. Come on in here. You're not a shameful thing. You're no longer a sinner. I'm going to make you righteous. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Hallelujah. All that your grandfather had, I'll give back to you. But you're going to eat at my table. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And you know what? As he sat at David's table, he realized that even his lame feet were covered. Hallelujah. Man, some of us got lame feet, but they're covered, honey. Whoa, covered, covered. Covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Some of us, you know, when we came to Jesus, we were pretty lame in our feet. Our toes had been stepped on by the devil. But when I sit at the Father's table, my lameness, my past sins aren't even seen. Because when I sit at the Father's table, they're covered. Hallelujah. Whoa. You understand how neat that blood is? That, God can't see through the blood, can't see all them things I did. Hallelujah. That precious blood, we need to esteem the blood. We need to esteem the blood. Hallelujah. It's just as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago when he shed it. And not one drop of his blood was spilt or wasted. Hallelujah. Whoa, glory. It cries out, mercy. Whoa, glory. Come on, give her mercy. Hallelujah. He takes shameful things and dead dogs and brings them out of dry places and sets them at the Father's table. Hallelujah. Whoa. Come on, just give one good glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Now let's look at the covenant in line of what Jesus did. They exchanged garments. God has always been interested in making a covenant with man. Back in the garden, he made everything so gorgeous, he didn't even put him in there till the sixth day because he wanted it all to be so pretty and ready for him. He told him, he said, I put you in command. I'm giving you all that you need. Hallelujah. But they sinned, and God is holy, and sin separates you from what's holy. And that's the first attribute of God, is he's holy. But second, thank God, he's merciful. And mercy says, I'll find a way. Hallelujah. Mercy's always running around looking for a way to get me out of a mess. Hallelujah. Come on. His mercy endures forever. Never runs out. It's new every morning. Aren't you glad he don't give you just a whole sack full of mercy when you get saved and say, now don't use this all up. Hallelujah. No, he gives me new mercies every morning. Every morning. But he's not only merciful, but he's love. Mercy finds love, and love always gives. John 3:16. God is love, and he's also truth. Jesus said, I am the truth, the life, and the way. When we receive Jesus, we receive the truth of what we have in him. When Adam and Eve sinned, they saw they'd blown it. They tried to cover themselves with a fig leaf. When God came to talk with them, they hid. And God said, where are you? And that always bothered me. I thought, didn't God know where they were? You know, I thought God knew everything. Adam, where are you? What do you mean, where are you? Don't you know where you? See, he wasn't there for information. He wanted Adam to know where he was. Hallelujah. God is all knowing. He wanted them to know where they were. Sometimes you have to find out you're lost before you can be found. Hallelujah. Did you ever ask anybody if they've been saved? And they say, saved from what? Well, I need to be saved. I mean, you can't believe that people don't realize that, but they don't. Hallelujah. What I need to be saved from. Hallelujah. But God killed animals to make a covenant with them. And that had to be a very traumatic experience for them. They'd never seen death. There'd never been death. So God kills an animal. They realize that this poor animal has to die because of them. That's the first blood substitute. Now, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So we have to agree on all 9 points of the covenant for the covenant to be valid. Man couldn't live out the covenant. He couldn't keep it. He kept blowing it. God said, you can't keep your end, so I'll provide somebody to keep your end for you. Folks, that's love. Hallelujah. God so loved that he gave. Why did Jesus always say, I'm the Son of Man? I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of Man. You know what? That's covenant. That's covenant. He became man, lived out our part. I love that. Why did he say that so much? Because he was down here to live out your part of the covenant. A man tempted in all points, yet without sin. He lived out his man's part of the covenant. Why isn't Buddha Savior? Why isn't Mohammed Savior? Why isn't Confucius Savior? Because they never fulfilled the covenant. Hallelujah. Only one did, and his name is Jesus. Jesus said, man's a sinner. I've never sinned. So I'll come down and take his sin, his old ugly garment of self-righteousness, and I'll give him. Oh, come on. I'll give him my righteousness. And he took his coat off and handed it to you. I'm giving you myself. I'll cover you. I love you. I'm giving you myself. Hallelujah. All I have is yours. Hallelujah. Took off his robe of righteousness and took your old sinful robe of unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we might be made right with God through Christ. The righteousness of God through Christ. That's what the King James says. New Living says that we might be made right with God. You're made right with God through Christ. Hallelujah. I'm made right. Come on, you need to be saying that. I'm made right. Hallelujah. We need to be righteous conscious, righteousness conscious instead of sin consciousness. You know, we've been for years been taught how bad we were, how bad you are, instead of how good Jesus is. Hallelujah. Do you know that his goodness far outweighs anything bad I could ever do? Hallelujah. His goodness far outweighs anything bad I could ever do. You understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless God. We're all caught up in sin, sin, sin. You ought to be caught up in righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what happens? He said all these things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. Why? Because Jesus is righteous. He said, Evelyn, take my robe. Yours is terrible and it stinks. Whoa, glory, come on, come on. Evelyn, take my robe. Put that on you. Put that on you. That's your covering. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Give me that old stinky, rotten robe. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. And then, you know, just like David's robe was a shepherd's robe, probably smell like sheep. My robe was a sinner's robe and smell like sin. Come on, it did. Hallelujah. But this new robe, hallelujah, smells like righteousness. Oh, glory to God. It smells like Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Then like the prince's robe was beautiful and clean with jewels and gold on it, our Savior's robe is perfect. Woo, glory. Come on, give me a good glory. Isn't this exciting you? Hallelujah. Then you know what? Jesus said, you're going to have a fight down there. You're going to have a war. There's a battle going on. And he said, it's one I've already won, but you're going to need some weapons for spiritual warfare. So he takes off his belt. Hallelujah. He said, here, take my weapon. It's the word of God, the sword of the spirit. It'll cut off the head off any demon that comes your way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take this, the sword of the spirit. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. It's a winning weapon. You overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That's covenant. Hallelujah. The blood of the Lamb, that's my covenant. The word of my testimony, that's the word. Hallelujah. Then number three was split down the middle. I have to come into his body in order to be his. I become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Ooh, glory. We become one. Jesus is the head and we're the body. You know, it don't matter, hallelujah, what goes on, because the body is not, I mean, God be a freak if his head was way up there and his body's way down here. Are you hearing me? Come on. The head is joined to the body. So keep looking down, honey. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. We become one. Jesus is the head and we're the body. Where he goes, I go. That body was split for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Number four, we mix blood. Joel 3:21 says, for I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Gonna cleanse my blood. Hallelujah. We mix blood. There's a cleansing that goes on in your blood. Hallelujah. Ooh, that's how come you can get healed. Whew. The blood of Jesus. Flowing through my veins. Don't have any disease in it, honey. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Claim what's yours. We mix blood. He was cutting his hands to bless the work of my hands. His feet to bless where I go. His brow so that I might have peace. His back so that I might be healed. And by his stripes I am healed. And bless God. If he said I'm healed, then I'm healed. Hallelujah. Don't go making excuses for God. You don't have the answers probably anyway. You understand? You know what? People try to say, well, God didn't mean that. Well, are you smart enough to say what he meant? You know, if he didn't know what he meant and wasn't smart enough to say what he meant, I don't know who of you can tell me what he meant. God said he had a covenant with us. He said, with his stripes we are healed. Now, when the body begins to believe that, hallelujah. You know, sometimes when somebody passes and I've stood with them and stood with them and they go to be with Jesus and you wonder, well, what in the world's going on? Well, honey, I'm going to tell you something. If everybody dies around me, I know what the word says. And I'm still going to be teaching the word. You know, because it still says that. And for me, it works because I believe it. I believe it. And devil, you ain't whooping me. You understand? You better quit messing with me, because it's going to be like I say, because I say what the word says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And every time he hits me, we come out smelling like a rose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Something happens, and you've pled the blood, and you believe God, and then something happens anyway, and you just quit. Don't quit. I mean, the battle is just begun. Hallelujah. If the 91st Psalm isn't bigger than your problem, then we're in a mess. Hallelujah. If the blood of Jesus isn't bigger than an accident, then we're in a mess. Hallelujah. But you got to stand. You got to draw that line and say, no, devil, you ain't messing with me, boy. Hallelujah. Do you know who you're messing with? A child of God washed in the blood. Come on, you touch me. You get the blood of Jesus all over you. So you better back off. Don't you touch me. Don't touch me. Hallelujah. He'll sneak in little ways, you know, get in there and mess you up sometimes. Well, just get a hold of Bev Tucker. She knows how to get you loose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All those people on the internet going to be calling you. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes if you need help, get some help. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, by his stripes we're healed. Number five, how did we get a scar? Joel 3:21 says, for I will cleanse their blood. Well, I already told you that about, I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed because the Lord dwells in Zion. But in Colossians 2:11, it says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in the putting off the body of sin, of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I got a circumcised heart. And you know what? I got a scar. And I've told you, when Satan unwraps my babies, guess what he finds? A circumcised heart. So get your hands off my babies. Hallelujah. Those belong to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The circumcised heart, there's a scar on your heart. Hallelujah. Number six, we exchange names. Jesus said, I'm writing your name on my heart. I've engraved your name in the palms of my hands. Isaiah 49:16 says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand, and thy walls are continually before me. Hallelujah. I'm on his mind, honey. He's thinking about, he's got it right here in his hands. He looks and he says, Evelyn, oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says your name when he looks there, if you're born again. But he said, you're going to need a name. Ha ha. Ooh, he took my name, wrote it on the palms of his hands. Now he says, you're going to need a name. Take the name of Jesus. It's a name above all names. And at that name, every knee shall bow. And he said, I'll just call you Christians, Christ ones. Hallelujah. I'm a Christ one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm Jesus' hands and feet and mouth. Hallelujah. Voice. Glory to God. I'm his voice on this earth. Hallelujah. And I'm sent here with some authority to make a difference. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? Ooh, glory. I love this. Most of this is just review, but it'll do you good. Hallelujah. We are covenant. We love each other. Number seven, he gives us all the covenant promises. And I told you that's 2 Corinthians 1:20. You need to know that. For all the promises. How many? All the promises of God. In him are yes, and in him amen. Unto the glory of God by us. I mean, take that apart. Begin to meditate that. All the promises, every single one of them, are yes. Yes, never said no. So be it, so be it. Unto the glory of God. By who? By us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Everything in there he ever promised anybody is mine. If I find there where he said, I am willing, bless God, that settles it. Hallelujah. The leprous man came to him and said, if you're willing, you can heal me. He said, I'm willing. Hallelujah. If he ever said, I'm willing to anybody, he said it to me. Hallelujah. He's willing. He's willing. We're covenant. We love each other. The whole covenant is mine. You understand? Number eight, how do we feast together? We take communion. Every time I eat the bread, every time I drink the cup, we're saying we're in covenant. I'm one with him. We're in this thing together. Hallelujah. Oh, ain't nobody bigger than God. He said, if God be for me, who can be against me? I will not be afraid of anything that man can do against me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. We feast together. We're in this thing together. So where's the tree? Did we ever get a tree? Yeah, we did it. The cross. It's called a tree. Galatians 3:14 curses everyone that hangs on the tree. A tree planted for all eternity. A tree that says, I'm dead to sin. Come on, hallelujah. That cross says Evelyn Gibson is dead to sin. Hallelujah. And alive under righteousness. Hallelujah. When he died, I died. When he arose, I arose. Hallelujah. When he sat down at the right hand of the Father, I sat down at the right hand of the Father. Far, far above. Come on, come on. Far above all principality and power and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When he sat down, I sat down with him. Hallelujah. He says, I'm friend. John 15 says, If I keep his commandments, I'm beloved. We have entered into a covenant relationship. So why are some Christians lame in their feet? Why are some Christians living in dry places? Why are some Christians not victorious? Because they don't understand their love covenant. I see so many defeated Christians. My goodness. And they don't know what belongs to them. I see so many people my age that are depressed about getting old. Can you believe it? Well, you know, I'm aged, but honey, I ain't getting old. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can outwork some of these way younger ones. Hallelujah. I'm not letting old age spirits come on me. They try to settle on me, I just kick their rumpuses out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You need to get up and say, we're going to kick some devil tail today. Hallelujah. Come on, you take that word, know who you are, begin to walk in that victory. Hallelujah. You can't be depressed one day and happy the next. Now, every single one of us have times when things come on you, but you don't stay there. You don't stay there. And how you get out of that, you begin to praise him. Oh, glory to God. I got to lead about 5 people to the Lord this week. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. That's something to be happy about. Come on. Maybe you led 1 or 2. Or maybe you got to lay hands on somebody and see them get healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You got up this morning breathing, didn't you? Hallelujah. That's something to be thankful for. You got a toothbrush, haven't you? Oh, glory. That's something to be thankful for. Did you ever get up with old morning breath and you haven't got a toothpaste or toothbrush? Hallelujah. Come on. We got things to be thankful. You know, well, that's just crazy. That's just a little thing. Honey, if you'll start with the little things. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Don't miss any opportunity to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, the more you see how much he loves you, the more you see that you should be what you should be walking in, you begin to act like Jesus, walking in the fullness of his love. Hallelujah. Well, laying hands on the sick, calling out demons, glory to God, walking in victory, spreading the love of God around, bringing light to dark places. Hallelujah. Being the answer. Don't you love it when you're the answer to somebody's prayer? I love that. You know, when maybe you've given somebody something and they'll come up and say, I prayed this morning that God would do that. And here you are, the answer to God's, you know, their answer. God's answer to their problem, and God lets you do that. Hallelujah. The more you see how much he loves you, the more you'll know you should be walking in the light, and you begin to walk like Jesus, walking in the fullness of his love. That's the hardest thing, is to walk in love. Now, if you're having an easy time, come lay hands on me, because I have a hard time with some. Oh, some people are easy to love. You know, you just love them. I mean, we got a good church, and we love these people. You know, we really do. But when you get out there, sometimes they're not so easy to love. Hallelujah. Sometimes they insult you. Hallelujah. Say nasty things to you when you've been good to them. You know? But we still have to love, don't we? Still have to walk in love. Is there power in confession how bad you are? You're so weak. What do you say about the weak? Let the weak say, I am strong. Hallelujah. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We've confessed for years how weak we are. See how weak the church is? You start confessing, I'm strong in the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about this church, but you see the church as a whole accepting junk they ought not accept and saying things they ought not say. And go along with junk that's just junk. Hallelujah. Compromising. You know what? We need to stop that. Stop that compromising. You need to confess how strong you are. When you realize how much he loves you, you're not afraid of anything. Because perfect love casts out fear. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Isaiah 54:17. And you have a tree planted to prove it. We have a scar, and so does Jesus. I told you, his hands, his back, his feet, his side, his brow. He wears those scars because that's a part of his covenant relationship with us. When he sees those scars, he's reminded we're in covenant. On his head, so I can have the mind of Christ. on his back so that I can be healed of all my diseases. His side was pierced so that I could be bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Split right down the middle. Love is one of the most exciting topics in the Bible. Love is not just an ooey-gooey feeling. Love can be tough. God chastens his children. People have said, well, that's because he's mad at them. No, it's because he loves them. And he chastens those he loves. But if you know what chasten means, it means to child train. You child train. I've never put one of my kids' hand to the fire and say, fire burns. No, that's child abuse. If God was what we've been taught to believe he is, and if he were living here on earth, they'd have to arrest him for child abuse. You tell your children, don't touch the fire, or you'll get burned. God tells you, honey, don't sin. It'll destroy you. Honey, don't judge, or you'll be judged. Honey, forgive, or you won't be forgiven. Little one, don't hate your brother. Don't lie. Because if you do, you give place to the evil one. The curse causes it does not come. Proverbs 26:2, as a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. We want to blame things on God, but the word says the curse causeless does not come. Now, if that child decides to put his hand in the fire anyway, that's not my fault. It's not your will that he be burned. No one could say, I guess you burned your child so he could learn. He could have compassion on those that are burned. I heard somebody say one time, well, unless you're sick and suffer, you can't have compassion on those that are sick. Jesus was never sick, but he had compassion on everybody he met. The only place he was sick was on the cross. It's the same with God. It's not his will for you to be hurt. The curse is out there. And if you don't obey his laws, guess what? But it's not God's fault. Let's take responsibility for our own sins. It's not God's fault. Hallelujah. You say, I don't deserve this. You better be glad you don't get what you deserve. You know? I don't know why God allowed this to happen to me. Maybe God didn't. He gave us some authority and we dropped the ball. Now, it might not have been your sin that caused this. Maybe it's your grandpa Adam. You know? Don't blame God. Love is strong. It performs. It's a force of God. But when we begin to see what love is and how it flows through us, how it activates and changes situations, then we can mix it with faith and things begin to happen. You understand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Beva, I'd like you and bring that mic and Kim and Sherry and Pat, you come up here. Come. I'm going to get the rest of them down here in the front here in a minute, but I want you guys to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come up here. Yeah. Hallelujah. Do you know what? God's going to give them a word for you tonight. Hallelujah. Some of it will be a personal word. Some of it will be for the congregation. But God's going to begin to move through these ladies. I felt like God wanted me to do this tonight. So, go ahead. Hallelujah.
Om baria sandoro ko shiketirion bon zinekre sa tutoro bokata on darin makumbre seton dresh ton darakaston dari isto rubakata zon dere heso makandu rububu rishtara si kara de besto I lava son da ricatando mombrando robosi sin da revesundo rusta rastiro rocata bro sara bro sin inglese on garatata bro shi la bohora macabose I lava son da levesce corumba chi ama cabasata e son da hisata. Lord is saying that today we are living in the hour of covenant. And the hour that covenant will put a demand upon us to begin to walk in that covenant, to begin to live in that covenant, to begin to receive from that covenant. We are to rise up and begin to know who we are and to know this covenant. His blood was shed for us to absorb, to live, to walk, to breathe, to eat, to partake of this covenant. And in this covenant, you are healed.
Amen.
You are whole. You are delivered. You are set free. Your house comes into the kingdom under that covering. It's ours. And today is the time, today is the hour to take these things that we have heard and begin to walk in them and to live them and to breathe them and to hear them and to receive them and to rise up and say, Lord, these are mine.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of you need to stand up and start declaring those things that are yours.
No. Amen.
Come on, don't sit there. Stand. No. Begin to declare, these are mine. If you need healing, begin to declare, by his stripes, I am healed. I am whole. I am sound. As for me and my house, we serve the Lord.
Amen.
I am delivered. I am set free in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, tonight I declare that bonds and fetters are broken tonight. Father, according to that blood covenant, God, we are free. We are free. Depression cannot stand in our presence in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Defeat cannot stand in our presence in the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease cannot stand in our presence in the name of Jesus. For Father God, tonight we rise up and we begin to choose tonight to receive from this covenant, God, to walk in this covenant, to take what you have paid such a tremendous price for, God, and to lay hold of it and receive it in the name of Jesus.